From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt. Our colleague, Noel, is on an adventure.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codename Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. Peek behind the curtain, as we so often say. I was just comparing notes a little bit earlier. Doc, Matt, I think this might be the last episode we record this entire year, the last segment we record this entire year.
Yeah, this is it. This is finale 2020, everyone. Congratulations.
But it comes out, you know, like in the new year. Our finale is, we're a week late with our finale.
That's fine. It's a little echo of that which was 2020. It's a little reminder.
And forward into the future, the horizon beckons at you from the distance. Depending on how you think of time, you are either inevitably running toward the future or the future itself is inevitably running toward you. We've got some weird listener mails today, Matt.
We've got
some really cool stuff. We've got a voicemail. We've also got, I think, a couple of just cool out of context things that we might just drop in the audio song here, the way that a beat drops in dubstep.
Yeah, or the way a game drops into the PlayStation store and then just disappears almost immediately.
Wow.
Here comes a quick one from Steve. Steve says, just going to preface this by saying, I'm a 43-year-old man, and as such, I suck at video games. However, I'm about 25 hours into Cyberpunk on Xbox One. Remember we talked about this game?
Mm-hmm.
It's buggy as hell, but it's totally badass otherwise. It will randomly quit you out and send you back to the main screen on Xbox. All that aside, it's the most fun I've had playing a video game in a long time. Since Skyrim, honestly.
That's high
praise.
That's a lot to say.
By the way, I chose a default penis size. We talked about on a previous episode that in this game, you are allowed to choose the size of your genitalia. And Steve is happy to report that he chose a default size. He says it felt right at the time.
He did a little smiley face too, Steve. One of those little punctuation smiley faces. Matt, I was wondering if you were going to get to that part of the letter. But yes, the characters, from what we understand, are highly customizable. And I'm so glad to hear that you're enjoying the game, Steve. I've actually kept you, Matt. You know I love spoilers, right? I love, yeah. love spoilers. It's kind of a way to spit in the eye of linear time, I guess. But but. I have not spoiled much of the story of Cyberpunk for myself. And I have you at this point?
No, I have not. The most I have done is watched Video Game Donkey's video, his coverage of it. Shout out to him, by the way, and anyone who watches his videos. I've been watching him for a long time. Ben and I have shared a few of those in the past. Big shout out to you. May you continue forevermore, sir.
Yes, well said. I'm a little torn about which direction we should go in. Matt, I'm thinking the voicemail makes for a nice segue. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's go to ye old voicemail. We received a message from Veronica, and they asked if we could look into something called Randonautica. Oh, Randonautica, you say?
Thanks so much, Veronica. This is something, Matt, I think you had heard about before I had. I know just a little bit about it. Could you give us the quick and dirty on Randonautica?
Dude, I literally heard about it because of Veronica. I read a story about a weird occurrence that had to do with this app and some users of this app, but I did not connect Randonautica and this story together. I'm sure it was in the reporting. It's just, in my mind, it wasn't about the app. It was about this weird occurrence that I was reading about. my goodness, I feel like I've stumbled on a brand new stage of my life, Ben. Randonautica is, or at least it purports to be, a real life choose your own adventure that you get to play every day whenever you open the app and choose to use it. Doesn't that sound enticing? Doesn't that sound exciting? Well, let me just tell you what it says on the website, randonautica.com. Randonautica is the world's first quantumly generated choose-your-own-adventure reality game. Explore the world you never knew existed. What? Mm-hmm. What? Here's more just from the website about what this thing is. It says the app puts the user in the director's chair of an adventure story yet to be written. By using the app, the user can break from their mundane day-to-day and take a journey of randomness into the world around them.
Oh, transmundane, you might say.
Transmundane, very much. Oh, this episode is going to work so nicely together.
We're the thing. Let's see. We're working live. I got you though. So that's pretty in Tennessee. These terms would be called highfalutin.
Oh, these are highfalutin. I'll tell you what. Listen to this. It says, break out of your reality tunnel, recalibrate your mind, and have fun on an adventure into the world you never knew existed. Welcome, future randonaut. So it sounds so wonderful, and it is ridiculously simple at the heart of it. Mm-hmm. This is an app that is literally just getting you to walk somewhere within a certain distance from wherever you are and to explore that area. That's literally what this is. That is it. But it has been purported to be the reason behind a lot of strange occurrences.
Mm-hmm. Because this is, from what I understand, this app is more of a formalization of an earlier practice. It's something that a lot of us have done accidentally. Randonauts existed before this app. Randonauts are just people who would find a location near to random as they could, maybe using a random numbers generator to find coordinates, and then they would just go explore. So this is an evolution of that, which I quite enjoy, even though I have I don't know. Let's walk through it. It sounds interesting, but I don't think either of us have used the app yet, have we?
No, I have not. To be honest, I'm a little weirded out by it. But it's not because of the creators or anything behind it. It is just during the times when, you know, that we're not, at least in Atlanta, we're not in any kind of imposed physical lockdown. But I would say a lot of us, including myself and my family, are attempting to minimize the number of locations we travel to. So the concept of just going out randomly to some location or just even traveling unnecessarily, it feels like probably a bad move, but right. Doesn't mean it necessarily is for you or for your situation or where you are. I'm just speaking for myself here. But to get back to the story that I was telling you about that I'd read about previously before hearing about the app, there was an occurrence. Oh gosh, I think it was in June. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the exact date of this, but not long ago this year, a group of younger people were using this app out in West Seattle when they were just, you know, exploring an area like the app tells you to do. You go to these random coordinates that are within, you know, a certain radius of the user. They go out to these coordinates and then you're meant to use your intention to explore the area as though, you know, it's a brand new place, because it is, and just get yourself out of your own headspace that you're kind of stuck in. And they happened upon, I believe it was a bag of some sort that had the remains of two human beings, a 27-year-old and a 36-year-old. I believe one was male, one was female. And essentially, they stumbled onto a homicide investigation, or they started a homicide investigation because of their exploration with this app. And that is very, very weird. Of course, it was captured for social media purposes, their journey, because that is one of the main reasons people are hearing about this. It's one of the main reasons there are 10, almost 11 million users of this app already. because it is very, very popular. If you use social media, especially video social media sites and applications, to film yourself using Randonautica and going out and exploring the world. And that's why there are so many occurrences, or it seems like there are so many strange occurrences, mm-hmm. because of the frequency that this app is being used by people and documented as right. it's being used.
Right, because you're not, it's a psychological manufacturing defect of the human experience, right? If you ever think, oh, I always get stuck at this red light, what you're remembering is just the times you've been stuck at the red light. What you're forgetting is every other time that you just sailed through and you didn't mm-hmm. feel very persecuted by the universe or spotlit by the universe. Yeah, I think this works off that. We do know that it's been described as performance art, as multimedia storytelling. It reminds mm-hmm. me a little bit, in some ways, it has what corporate types would call the DNA of immersive theater experiences, things like the Latitude Society over in California, which we'll get into in another episode. Just sidebar, please keep this on mic, Doc, but sidebar, Matt, have you heard of the Latitude Society?
Latitude Society. No, I have not.
Oh, boy. Okay. It's a weird one. It's a weird one. But Randonautica is doing something that's pretty fascinating. It reminds me of, remember No Man's Sky before that game came out? I remember the hype, too. I never played it. I felt really bad because I waited for one of our colleagues to play it and let me know what the deal was. But No Man's Sky essentially promised to be a game where the player is a spacefaring person, right? They have a spaceship and they're cruising through a universe of randomly designed worlds. And that sounds beautiful because, you know, the game is writing itself around you. And Randonautica is sort of reframing the way you would encounter the physical world. It's not physically changing stuff about the world around you. It's kind of like a skin you could put on Google Earth or something.
Yes, totally. And the only thing is, Randonautica encourages its users to use their intention to generate in the world experiences. So it's almost like a cold reading of yourself or something where I decide my intention is to find guidance wherever it is that I'm going to travel. So then once you get to that location, you are searching for something that is going to meet that criteria of your thoughts on what guidance would mean or what guidance you believe you require in that moment. Mm-hmm. Or find something unexplainable. And then, you know, you discover a ladder set up against a tree in the middle of nowhere that leads up to a single apple. You know, whatever mm-hmm. thing you encounter, then kind of you can ascribe those thoughts to that thing, or you're going to be doing that anyway.
Yeah. And this has a shout out. Randonautica, they also ask you to choose entropy, right?
Yes.
Intention and entropy. Randonautica has a prominent connection to one of my favorite academic pursuits of the alleged spooky mental actions people are capable of. ESP, precognition, etc. We're talking about the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Program, or PAIR. PAIR had an experiment in 1998 and a number of other experiments supporting this idea that people can, to some degree, control random number generation through their thoughts, their focused thought, will, and attention alone. If you're a fan of the awesome McSweeney's DVD publication that used to come out regularly, it was like a DVD magazine or short films. You may remember at one time, McSweeney's and Wolfen distributed a bonus DVD from, I think it was Pear, that asked you, the user, to view this recording at a specific time and see whether you could alter the results of the random number generators at Pear itself, at Princeton. So this sort of stuff is fascinating. Now, of course, the more skeptical members of our audience today are going to point out the numerous holes in the methodology and problems with the process, sure. But still, it's fun to think about. So this is more and more an argument for Randonautica in my book. But man, Matt, what kind of data is getting captured here?
Oh, right. They say there isn't data being collected. I'll actually go, let's go to their FAQ now. Support.randonauts.com. This is officially what they say. The application does not collect user data. The generated points, but never your starting point, are stored as anonymized information with no connection to you or your device. We utilize GPS only for your starting location and never run this permission in the background. Officially, that is what they say. Now that we're on the FAQ, can I do a few more, Ben?
Please, by all means.
The app keeps sending me to private property. What should I do? Enjoy the journey as close as you can get to the destination without trespassing. Observe the surroundings as closely as you are comfortable with. As a user of the app, you must abide by state and local private property laws. Okay? It is private property, though.
Hey, explore during the day, right?
Oh, yeah, it does say that. With it says, friends. What does it say? I'm scared to use the app. Will anything bad happen? It says, try to approach of neutral curiosity. In general, the feeling of thrill, anxiety, and a bit of fear is somewhat normal for first-time users. Use situational awareness, avoid night trips, and stay in your comfort zone.
And this, okay, so this is the thing. There's the reverse psychology of this. It's very, in some ways, it's similar to the old game of getting into a dark room and saying certain phrases repeatedly into a mirror, right? To tempt some otherworldly or supernatural entity. So there's a lot of stuff on TikTok. There's a lot of stuff on YouTube with people saying, I tried this once. It was terrifying. Never use it again, you know? And those people, we can't say that they're being performative or insincere without knowing them. They may honestly be very scared, but that fright is umami to other people. They want the danger. You know what I mean? You've heard the urban legend. This person said so-and-so into a mirror. Well, why not trip the light? Fantastic myself, thinks thousands of other people. And that's what's happening here. Randonautica does say you have to get your parents' consent to use the app if you're a minor. But how is that a real barrier? Right? Who on earth has looked at the you must be up 18 and up or whatever clicky things on the internet and thought, oh no, the FBI is after me now. They're going to get me because I'm 16 or whatever.
This guy when I was,
that was you?
14, 15.
And I don't know. I think it's worth exploring. It'd be a fun thing to do. I enjoy geocaching as well though, so I'm biased. But as far as whether or not intention can affect the random number generation, I don't know. I'm curious. I'm curious, Matt. What do you think?
I don't necessarily think it can, but who knows? I mean, prove to me we're not in the Matrix right now, Ben. Can you? No, you can't. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe there is a way to game the system. I'm just unaware of it because if I was, I would be using it right now. So, well, let's take a break and I'll try and influence this ad to be, well, what am I going to influence it to be? World of Warcraft.
Oh man, the weird tense nature of our partnership. All right. I'm there with you. Okay. No whammies.
Okay. Here it goes.
Man, we're back.
Did it work?
We'll see. We'll see. It may have worked for someone. But you know, there's also the argument that you should do what you want with the world and with your experience. So kudos to anyone who said, I'm going to help Doc and the boys out, and I'm just going to play a World of Warcraft ad. on my own, like on YouTube or something. So you made it true for us.
Oh, the Shadowlands.
All right.
This next piece came to us not too long ago, and it is it's something that we wanted to share with you all, and we wanted to get your opinions on this. Ralphie K. writes to us and says, "Esteemed colleagues in plumbing the transmundane, please find a letter attached. It explains everything. We come in peace. Afraid be not do please. Hail Eris. All hail Discordia."
Hmm. That sounds familiar. Hail Eris. I swear I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
And Discordia.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Discworld. That was a whole other thing, but Discordia. Hmm.
So this came with an attachment, a letter attached that we both were a little hesitant about diving into. We both, I think, did a preview of the message, maybe compartmentalized before opening it. And when we opened it, I don't know about you, Matt, but I'm very glad we did so, because we got this wonderful little letter we wanted to share with you. It's a bit thorough. So I propose that we split the duties up here. We toss the text back and forth between ourselves, and then, you know, pause as needed for explanations. First explanation before we begin: what is Discordianism? It's, according to Adam Gorightly, it was founded as a parody religion. Adam Gorightly writes a lot about fringe thoughts and research. It encourages the worship of Eris, a Greek goddess. It's Eris in Greek, and it's Discordia in Latin. So there's a lot of strange stuff we're about to dive into. We're on the edge of the pool, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Let's start at the top, and as the Mad Hatter says, we'll start at the beginning, we'll go through the middle, and we'll stop at the end.
Yeah, oh, that's perfect.
Great. All right, so Routhie writes, "From the Absurdist Historian's Army, an EOOTLG alum affiliate, to the host of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. By name, they are," and then it has our three names, and then...
What is the colon dot H colon dot M colon dot, and then your name? What is that?
I am not familiar with a lot of these abbreviations either.
Okay.
Right Honorable?
The Right and Honorable...
I don't know.
Mr. Just... Ben Bolin?
It's weird. I noticed. Did you notice they didn't put the M on every name?
Oh, yeah. You are the only Mister.
We don't know.
Master?
I don't know. It would be misleading. So we've already stopped. We're like in the intro.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And we're already going, what's going on? Please let us know what the RHM means. We are not intimately familiar with this school of thought. So Ralphie says, "Esteemed colleagues in transmundane research." There we go. The callback worked.
Cool.
"Allow us to begin with introductions. I have countless names and countless faces. You might call me a denizen of the space exterior to reality, though I inhabit a flesh suit at present. These days, I wear a red hat and am a quite real and practical magician."
Ooh, well, that's amazing. And they continue, "I find your work fascinating, particularly your collective talent for aphorism. We at the AHA are also transfixed by the inexplicable, the hypernovel, the super real, the transmundane. Yes, in particular, R.H. Bolin's adage that the great ideas are the force that changes the world. And as the branch of the illuminated conspiracy, your collective insistence on conspiracy realism is refreshing, to say the least." Great ideas, Ben, are the force that changes the world. And I couldn't agree more.
Well, it appears that we're being buttered up for something, Matt.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's get to you. "Yes, esteemed colleagues, we, the Absurdist Historian's Army, are an affiliate branch of the Esoteric Order of the Laughing God, itself a branch of the Rosicrucian Order of Western Tantra. Laughing no. God. Love it. Love it. We are the present representatives of the radical DZOGCHEN Dzogchen Vajrayana discipline of the Ram Nyingma Arat in the southwestern United States for our sins. I wonder if that's, okay. And then they continue, the Scarlet Lodge of Force, the Crimson Hood, or the Red Hats. We seek to directly assault the structural notions of global fascism through art, conversation, and armed confrontation if necessary. Ooh. We will kill the idea without touching the body that thinks it.
Fascinating. Assaulting the structural notions of global fascism through art, conversation, and armed confrontation if necessary.
Yeah, just throw that one in there. You know, just a dash of that.
Okay, okay. We see you. And then they continue. In short, we see what you see. It is in our house now, and we must find it and do now what we can. We practice a wide range of tactics, primarily in the realm of culture jamming and idea combat. God, I love this, Ben. Okay, continuing. But this is a branch of what is referred to as Operation GOTB. We have a document regarding higher metaphysics, which would be more of a definite interest to you, and would be happy to send a copy with no strings attached. Let me just say, go ahead and send it, please. Mm-hmm.
Send it. Also, the skeptic in me does not believe that there are no strings attached, because everything is connected in some way.
And is this not culture jamming in its own right in some way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you not jamming the culture?
Oh, we're a culture jam band. Us and this person. So they go on to say, the only reason we have not done so with this letter is due to the general objection of sending unsolicited documents to filmmakers or artists for obvious reasons. However, we explicitly intend, find your intention, for you to make up your mind what we have with, as said, no strings or implications attached. We intend also to contact the RHM, there it is again, Robert Evans, but he is comparatively difficult to reach for clear reasons. If our esteemed colleagues would extend to him our invitation as well, it would be of great assistance, and we would be most grateful. Belief is not a requirement to experience the mysteries. So they want us to reach out to Rob?
Well, Rob, this is us reaching out to you. Can you hear us through the airwaves or the pod waves, whatever these things are? Robert, this is interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
He is doing great, great work, by the way. I can't say enough about him.
Working his butt off, too. See how many shows he's got right now?
Mm-hmm. And dear listeners, highly recommend all of them. We should probably have him on the show at some point. But to our wonderful correspondent, we're so glad to hear that you are aware of and supportive of the work
of RHM Robert Evans.
And so now our author goes on to give us a series of questions.
Oh, yes. In fact, they say, allow me to pose a series of questions. Who am I? Before you immediately read my signature, who am I without that context? Can you guess my name? I am, if it helps, pleased to meet you all, albeit in absentia. What is anything without its context? Do you see how I just became myself by context? Does anything have any definability at all without a comparison? Light and dark, yes. The light must be bright enough to reveal the dark, and the dark must be deep enough for light to truly appear. Well, let us speak of chaos.
Ah, I got some chills. That's an excellent read, Matt.
Like it's writing that perfect line between a supervillain and a superhero. It's like they're right there. They're the anti-hero that is exploring the edge through counter. I don't know. Let's just talk about chaos, Ben.
Okay, chaos. So look around. The letter continues. What is the most abundant thing? What abounds in every place, regardless of what else abounds upon it? What indeed is the abounder, so to speak? It is chaos. Unmanifest it is, yes? And what of its opposite? Can it be said to have one, perhaps anti-generation, yes? What do we call that, hate or hunger? Maybe the two together? We call it malice. But does chaos not contain all within it, along with all's negation as well? Then malice must balance within the formula, if we model it as one. Yes. I love how, it also writing style-wise, I love how at the end of some, you know, larger conclusions, there's just a comma, yes. I'm going to start writing that way.
Sounds good. Yes. So then what is order? Not the opposite of chaos, as pedestrian philosophy would have it. The opposite of order is disorder, the actual dipole, defining the rotative motion of neophobia and neophilia. That is, being fear of our fixation on change. It is evident neither is correct entirely, but that one must stand in the middle of a bridge between the two islands, yes. Overall is the overall of chaos nested within it, the hodge and the podge, the aneuristic and the aoristic, order, disorder, the halves of chaos undivided. It is the tension of hodge and podge that makes this the world of 10,000 things. Truly, do many things come to pass.
And in closing, our author says this is an invitation into the highest mystery. Again, interesting wording here. Afraid, be, do, please, not. Instructions to continue correspondence. And then a very direct first person closing here. I promise I am not a serial killer or a stalker. I mean absolutely no harm. It's only an invitation. It may be refused with no offense taken. I think any invitation should be something people can refuse with no offense taken. Under this letter, or that part of the letter, it ends with the eschaton has been emanatized. And then we see writing in red. Help me out, Matt. That's definitely red, right?
That is red, yes. Okay. And it also appears to be German. Am I incorrect here?
I believe you're correct, yeah.
Or wait, yeah, I'm seeing some, it looks German to me. Unless we're going, oh, wait, it's Hail Eris, Hail Hecate?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Ave Infinitum, Rubum Rex. Interesting. Are they just trying to get us to say these things on air, Ben?
Right, yeah, maybe to amplify the spell. Now, Matt, as you pointed out, some parts of this letter are in a different language, and one of those languages is German. We had an interesting discussion off mic about magic as weaponized psychology and whether we are being asked to, in some way, amplify a magical working by reading these phrases on the air. In our reasoning, we don't want to accidentally participate in a spell, whether or not you believe in them. We certainly don't want to accidentally draw in you, our fellow conspiracy realist, as part of unwitting members of a spell. So we figured we would read the English translation of some of these phrases. And that probably won't have the same effect, right? If I understand this correctly.
One hopes that this was not anticipated. Right?
Yes. Ooh, well done, Matt. Okay, so, all right, let's do it, though. What do you think? You want to hear the English?
Why don't you do one? I'll do the middle one, and then you do the last one. Is that okay?
Okay. All right. Just from that top phrase?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So the first phrase is eternal flower power.
Eternal acid power? Is that what you're getting? Mm-hmm, That's what I'm seeing?
Mm-hmm. And the last one is, I see the fourth color.
Oh, you do?
Which
you
is great.
You would be the one.
I'm partially colorblind. I need all the colors I can get. So we looked in, and it doesn't seem like anything malevolent. You know what I mean?
No.
There are great little observations, aphorisms, concepts. Everything is true. Nothing is permitted. Will that stop you? Have you ever noticed that the only things you notice are the things you notice you just did?
Dude, I love that. Again, afraid, be, do not please. But can I read the next part here? It says, one day you will read this message and wonder at how much has changed. We are the Illuminati. Curiously, that statement, we are the Illuminati, is in all caps except for the A and R of R.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben, I am not familiar with that practice of spelling it in that way or writing it in that way. That's certainly new to me. And I, you know, throughout this entire thing, I feel like such a novice in all of the transmundane. I need to level up like a lot. Wow.
I'm fully on board. This is so weird. This seems kind of cool. I'm fascinated. I've seen some stuff like this before, but not addressed specifically to us. So we're flattered. We're very flattered. Let's check in. I don't want to put you too much on the spot, Codename Doc, but what do you think of what you just heard?
That's what I got so far.
Okay. It's working.
I don't know.
The discord has been sown. The chaos has been sparked. All are confused. Be not, please. Oh boy, this is getting to be a lot. Let's take a quick break.
And we're back. Very well. Further into the depths. So a real and practicing magician.
Yeah.
Our author identifies themselves as, meaning then that you have enacted what are sometimes described as magical works. Would love to hear examples of that. Would love to hear more explorations of this. I think for outsiders, one thing that becomes pretty confusing is the nature of what would be maybe called applied effect versus the more philosophical, metaphysical concerns and spiritual navigation. So I think seeing that together in a combined system can be confusing to a lot of people. But the first thing this reminded me of, Matt, because I am a relatively simple person, is the Illuminatus trilogy. Do you remember these books?
I do. I certainly do. There are many references in here. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, but I believe that phrase right towards the end there is ripped directly out of the Illuminatus trilogy. The Blumenkraft part there, the flower power. Is that not ripped from the Illuminatus trilogy? I may be way off base.
Well, you know, this Hail Discordia stuff is definitely in there. I don't know where they pulled it from, though, right?
Okay.
But there are things in there like the 23 Enigma, which is the idea that 23 is a magical or somehow significant number. And in the Principia Discordia, which is kind of the religious text of the Discordian belief system, it's written by Greg Hill and Carrie Wendell Thornley. In that, you'll see a claim about 23 that says, all things happen in fives or are divisible by or are multiples of fives or are somehow indirectly or directly appropriate to five. That's the law of fives, and 23 is regarded as a corollary of that law because 2 plus 3 equals 5. That's the kind of territory we're diving into here.
Just yes!
Very clear. We could also say that the reason we have base 5 and base 10 kind of numbers is actually very simple. It's because that's the number of phalanges or digits we have.
Those phalanges, they've really just sent us on a path just because of these things, man.
Yes. Yep. Because of these hands. Now, if we all had six fingers, it would be, we'd have like a base 12 kind of situation going on. It's pretty reasonable.
If for some reason we all had six fingers.
Do octopuses have like a base 8 reasoning?
Or, surely.
Or maybe not, because each arm has kind of its own brain. Anyway. That's an episode for another day, but this letter was such a refreshing surprise, and it's something that, you know, we always want to be honest with you folks when we don't understand something. It's something that's a little over my head. I didn't catch a lot of these references, especially given that there was a follow-up that is entirely not in an alphabetic language that would be familiar to a lot of people.
For sure. Well, now I'm just going to go down rabbit hole after rabbit hole of stuff that is included in this message, and I'm not going to stop for a long time. And really, I just want to learn more about the Scarlet Lodge of Force. Or the Crimson Hood. I feel like I'm aware of the Crimson Hood, but the Scarlet Lodge of Force, I'm going to learn as much as possible about.
Same, Matt. Hard same. Let us speak hard of same. Chaos. Hard same. That sounds like it could be a weird album title for someone. You know what? It's like a Mick Jagger solo album. It's like Mick Jagger. Hard same. Why does that feel somehow off and weird?
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's just the hard. The Crimson Force. I'm not going to get the Crimson Force out of my head. Or the Scarlet Force. Sorry. The Scarlet Force, the Crimson something. So cool.
Yes. Yeah. And this also has an interesting tie-in to our earlier exploration of Randonautica. Right? The idea that intention alone can alter the world in ways science has yet to understand. What's fascinating here is that we know this is to a degree true when it comes to observation of actions. Very, very small things, right? Like whether light is a particle or a wave, the two-slit experiment and so on. But does that indicate anything larger? Does that indicate... I don't want to sound dismissive. I'm just trying to think of examples. Does that indicate, for example, that a vision board can, meditating in front of a vision board or just meditating on your own, does that somehow alter the world around you? Or does it simply alter the way that you experience reality? I guess the question is really phenomenological at some point. Phenomenological experience, meaning that we're not changing the outer world. We're sort of changing our consciousness with new information or new opinions or new beliefs, and we are affecting that change most readily by our interaction with external objects of our direct experience. So, like, are we changing the world, or are we changing our minds about the world? That's kind of the big question.
Man, I remember when back in the day I used to get that oregano and make use of it. And I would have these kinds of thoughts all the time. Ben, want to let you know I'm going back to oregano officially because of this letter.
You're back you're back on the gano?
I'm going directly to that sweet, sweet oregano.
So this has given us a lot to think about. I think both of us are going to be digging deeper into this. We'd massively appreciate that follow-up document there with a little bit more about metaphysics, because I think what's intimidating to a lot of people in this sort of situation is finding a starting point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How do I begin to understand these very specific allusions, references, and so on? Or should I? Is this just an act of culture jamming? And if so, what are your favorite acts of culture jamming, dear listeners? I'll tell you, Matt, there are some great examples of this in the Illuminatus trilogy. Some of my favorites have always been fake signs. Just fake signs that are just plausible enough. Like one of the best examples in Illuminatus trilogy, this is not a spoiler. Someone goes into a very fancy department store and there's a sign that says, you know, like you have to have shirt and shoes for service, etc. So they alter this sign, or they put up a different sign. I can't remember what it is, but the only change is they added the line like no spitting. And this was in a really fancy store, and so customers would be very turned off when they walk in and they're like, is spitting a problem here?
Someone has been spitting such that a sign was necessary?
Yes. So that's what I like culture jamming like that. I like putting up, I used to put up a lot of fake lost photos or lost
what?
Notices, flyers. Yeah. Like I had one that was like a lost parrot. And the whole thing was like, please don't bring him back. He's a monster. Run away if you see him.
That's pretty funny.
Don't make eye contact. Don't listen to his name. Don't listen to what he says. He will lead you astray.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. That's really great. Hey, this has nothing to do with that. I'm so sorry. I had a picture just flash in my mind. As a family, we watched this new Pixar movie, Soul.
Oh, yeah,
that,
yeah.
Just came out.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty glorious. It includes a different view of eternity and the construct of the universe and the metaverse and all that is reality and unreality. I would just recommend it for, you know, maybe not super young kids, but anyone who has a budding curiosity about how life functions and all of that stuff. It's an inspirational story, I would say.
All right. One for the adults too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I cried my eyes out. Oh, Pixar does that to me every time. Cheers, Pixar.
Oh, you know God. Pixar is, yeah, they've got a formula. It works.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would love to check that out on your recommendation, Matt. I'm also going to be rereading Illuminatus Trilogy. Want to hear your examples of culture jamming. Just one more personal example. I put up I think the dumbest one is I put up missing posters for a boomerang, and the instructions were always just like, wait here. So let us know what you think, what kind of little pranks like that you've done. As long as they don't hurt anybody, as long as they help us look at the world in a new and interesting way, we're in general all for them. You can tell us about these things, many other things, whatever you wish to tell us and your fellow listeners through a number of ways. We're on the internet, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, as shows, as individuals. We like to recommend, here's where it gets crazy, over there on Facebook, where you can hang out with the best part of the show, your fellow listeners. But wait, you say, I hate social media. You shake your fist at the sky while someone is saying, this is a Wendy's. There are other ways to get in contact with us. You can just dial us up. You can give us a call.
That's right. Our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. You can leave us a message with a suggestion for a show that you want us to cover, for one of these, just something you want to have, you know, a quick chat about with us through your headphones, because we'll chat with you that way. If you want someone to actually call you back, I mean, it might happen. Beware. And also, yay. Let us know if you do not want your name or your voice to be used on the show. That would be very helpful to us. Otherwise, if it gets left on our voicemail, we're just going to think of it as usable. What else here? Ben, if people don't like that stuff, but they still want a new shirt that's like really cool, is there anything they can do?
Well, yes, Matt, you can go to TeePublic, where we have T-shirts, mugs, all kinds of weird stuff. Just search TeePublic, stuff they don't want you to know. You'll see some pretty cool swag. We also are working on some new designs that'll be coming out in 2021. So don't delay. Get the old school ones before they are gone. We also would love to hear a review from you if you want to help out the show. That's the best way. Just drop over by whatever Apple is calling their podcast thing now. I think it's currently podcasts.
Yep.
And then leave us a review. And if you have something to say, if you have a Bukowski-esque bluebird in your heart, but you don't want to share it over social media and you don't want to ever use the phone, we have one more way that you can always contact us. That is our good old-fashioned email address, where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.